And, you know, it's so important for the small business community to understand that these SCORE mentors as a program has been in place for decades. So it isn't like a new incubator may start up in a particular city and is figuring out, well, we need to do some programs for the companies coming in here, or we need to put some mentors together. In many cases, those are very, let's call it, loosely put together organizations, and they're hoping to fill a local community need.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand.Life show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back, my wonderful audience. Welcome to the Your Living Brand.Live show. It's Ben Baker, and thank you for coming back week after week, for joining us, for joining me on LinkedIn, telling me what you like, telling me what you want to hear, your challenges, your aspirations. I love you all, and thank you for making this a phenomenal show for the last 5 years. Share it with everybody. I love how this audience grows. This week, we have a repeat. You know, not very often do I bring people back onto the show, but my friend Liz Sarah has left, you know, where we talked about before, and she has joined me. She is now the president of SCORE Foundation. And we're going to talk about mentorship, because I think this is something in North America, around the world, that is critical, both to the people being mentors and the people being mentored. And I think it's what's going to make the world a better place. So, Liz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Ben. I'm really delighted to be back here with you today.
You know, we had so much fun the last time. I sat there and said, okay, you've changed positions. You led an incredible organization that, you know, that helped women. And now you've moved over to SCORE. And, you know, I'll let you give a little bit of a history about who you are, where you are, where you've been, and where you are today. And then let's get into mentorship, because, you know, I've been a mentor for over a decade now. And for me, it's one of the most gratifying things that I do. So take it away. Give us a little history of who you are, you know, where you came from, and then we'll get into it.
Thank you. So I've been an entrepreneur all of my career. And for the majority of the years that I've spent working, I've been in the technology sector, not as a software developer or computer engineer, but on the business side. So that's my background, and that's what I bring to the organizations that I've worked with. I was a co-founder of a software company in the pre-internet days, morphed that into an e-commerce company in the early days of e-commerce and web, and spent the last 20 years or so running a marketing strategy agency in the Washington, D.C. area, helping early and growth stage tech companies go from $1 million in revenue to $5 million or $5 million to $25 million. So helping them sort through the roadblocks and the challenges and how to get around it and how to scale and grow and be successful. And all throughout that process, all throughout my days as a software company entrepreneur and leader, I sure wish back then there was access to the kinds of mentors that are available to today's startup founders, because there wasn't anything in those early days. And if I didn't have personal friends or some board members that I could bounce ideas off, hey, you end up making mistakes that are rookie mistakes because you've never done it before. And so the various roles that I've played in recent years, such as chairing the National Women's Business Council, which was really advocating for female founders around the country and bringing their situation to light with the U.S. Congress, the White House, other federal agencies on things that they could do to help women succeed in their business endeavors, or things that they should get out of the way that are holding women back. So when I was given the opportunity to join the SCORE Foundation as the new president and the new leader, to me, it was just a natural next step of all the things that I've been doing to support startups and entrepreneurs, whether it's male or female, whether it's of one ethnic background or another, or whether it's companies in one industry sector or another. You know, small businesses are really the backbone of our economy. And I'm excited about the kinds of opportunities that we have with SCORE and how the foundation supports that. And so when you're ready, I'll tell you what the difference is between SCORE and the foundation.
Perfect. Because I think, you know, that's a pretty big differentiation between SCORE itself and the foundation. But, you know, look at this, is that there's 326,000 people you guys have mentored over the last year.
It is tremendous. And so SCORE operates this vast mentor network of some 10,000 business experts that volunteer their time to help any small business owner. And these 10,000 volunteers are spread around the country, serving about 1,500 communities in about 250 chapters. So if you live in Dallas or Denver or anywhere else, you can, as a small business owner, just go on the SCORE.org website, click the button that says request a mentor, tell them online what kind of help you want, whether it's accounting or finance or marketing or anything under the sun. So SCORE has been around for many decades, more than 50 years, and it has really been able to champion and get this model in place to support the small businesses in our country. The foundation, on the other hand, is the sister organization and the philanthropic arm to SCORE. So what does that mean? We work with third-party organizations, from corporations to individuals to other foundations and nonprofits, that wish to expand the educational programming and services that SCORE provides to these small businesses. So besides this powerful mentor network, there are webinars and business plan templates and various types of local programs that the small business owners can avail themselves to help them in those areas that they're looking for information and they're looking for guidance. So the foundation attracts those corporations that are interested in becoming thought leaders in aligning their strategic mission with helping small business owners. And I'm happy to talk about what some of them are actually doing.
No, it's great. And we'll definitely give you a chance to get into that. But I look at the whole thought process behind mentorship, and it comes down to a fact of we don't know what we don't know. And as you said, early on in your career, early on in my career, we probably fell down a lot of holes that we didn't need to, you know, and we had no idea how to get up. We didn't know where the ladder was. Sometimes we didn't even know where the top of the hole was. And it's challenging because if we don't have access to people either on an ad hoc basis or on a regular basis that we can say, I'm not sure, or I don't understand, or how would you, we're going to continue to fall into those holes over and over again where we don't need to. So my thought process is, how do you enable people to, first of all, understand that this type of mentorship is available and how to access it? Because, you know, a lot of people go into business, they have their heads down, they're doing what they need to do, and they don't understand what programs are available of them or how to get access to them in the first place.
Well, Ben, we at the foundation are helping SCORE to the extent that our corporate sponsors are involved in spreading that word. And being on podcasts such as yours is another channel to reach the small business audiences that perhaps haven't heard too much about the SCORE mentoring that's available or the other programs. So getting the word out is a very big part of SCORE's mission. And they do a tremendous amount of social media outreach and public relations. But there's always a new business company getting started. And so there's always a new market to get in front of. And so, you know, being on the kinds of programs such as yours are so important to keeping the dialogue open and the awareness out there so that a new business owner can learn about what SCORE offers at no charge and can take advantage of it. So, you know, we are thankful, and I personally welcomed this opportunity to chat with you today so that your audience perhaps might learn about what's available and take advantage of it. And there are very few resources around the country as robust, as deep, and as free as what SCORE offers small businesses.
So let's get into that in terms of what is available to these people? You told me there's chapters across North America, or at least across the United States. And I can avail myself if I live in Dallas, I live in New York City, I live in Seattle. There is a local chapter full of people that are interested in being mentors. How do you, first of all, make sure that these people that want to volunteer their time are prepared to be of service to the people that need help, to be able to make sure, because not everybody who says, I want to be a mentor, may have the understanding of what that really means, or what that, you know, what is going to be expected of them, or what they can offer, what they can't offer, and how truly to be of help. So how do we prepare the people who want to be mentors to be able to be the best service to the new business owners as they can be?
So there definitely is a process that has been honed over the decades whereby SCORE is able to interview, to vet, and to provide a certain amount of training so that those potential volunteers who want to be those mentors, A, have the requisite background in their field to begin with. So we want to make sure that if someone is volunteering to be an accounting mentor, that there's the necessary background skills, business experience that will make them a proper mentor and provide accurate and important information. So that process has been in place for quite a long time. And the second aspect of it is, how much time is that mentor willing to commit? Because we don't want someone that's going to do one mentor session and then never be available again. That doesn't really help the small business, because many small business owners have several sessions with their mentor. And in many cases, they may have more than one mentor. So if they need finance help, well, that's one type of mentor. If they want help in putting a social media marketing campaign together, that's a very different mentor. If they need someone with experience in their industry, if it's anything, retail or operating a food truck, for example, that might be yet a third type of mentor. So SCORE, as the organization, has in place a proper channel for identifying new potential mentors, receiving inquiries from new potential business experts that would like to be mentors, and for checking the background and interviewing them and see if there's a good fit, both from an experience standpoint as well as a time commitment standpoint.
And that's so important because, as I said, I've mentored probably at least a decade, if not long. You know, it's been at least a decade that I've done. And quite honestly, when I first started, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, my thought was, listen to the person. Listen to the person, find out what they need, and not be afraid to say, I don't know. And be able to sit there and say, okay, I don't know. Let's help them find the right answers. You know, for instance, you don't want me doing your accounting for you. You know, you don't want me giving you financial advice when it comes to reading the spreadsheets and figuring out in detail how to be able to move from X to Y. I've got people that do that for me. I certainly rely on those people. I wouldn't want to be the person telling a brand new business owner, you know, the details and the minutiae of their spreadsheet and their financial situation. It's not what I do. But you also need to sit there and say, what are the boundaries? How much time do I really have? Like, can I afford 5 hours a week? Maybe yes, maybe no. How do you set expectations? How do you set boundaries? How do you make sure that you are available when you need to be available? So I applaud that because a lot of mentors, it's trial and error. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes you don't know why it didn't work. And having an organization that you can rely on to sit there and say, okay, you know, they've got a process. They've got a vetting. They have people that the mentees can go to and say, listen, I've never run into this problem before. Do you guys have places where those people can go and say, hey, I need help. You know, I've got this person that asked, you know, that's asking me this question. I haven't got a clue how to answer it. Does somebody else have an answer that we can give them?
And, you know, it's so important for the small business community to understand that these SCORE mentors as a program has been in place for decades. So it isn't like a new incubator may start up in a particular city and is figuring out, well, we need to do some programs for the companies coming in here, or we need to put some mentors together. In many cases, those are very, let's call it, loosely put together organizations, and they're hoping to fill a local community need. With the SCORE Mentor Network, there are processes that they have honed over time. They understand what are really the important criteria for an individual who is willing to be a mentor to be able to fulfill, so that those small business clients are getting the best of what they need in a particular company functional area or at a particular time in their life cycle where they're trying to go from, you know, one stage to the next, or they're trying to grow their revenue from here to there, or they're trying to hire five new people and, you know, put them in place to help grow their business. So I can't underscore enough, no pun intended with the score there, I just realized, of the efficiency and the credibility of that SCORE network in supporting the small business community. Because as a small business owner, you want to make sure that the advice you're getting is good advice.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. So let's look at this from your foundation partner's point of view. Your large, mid-sized, large-sized corporations that utilize the talents within their organizations to be able to support or mentors for the mentees.
So in most cases, Ben, the large corporations that we work with at the foundation are helping to support the programs in general.
Okay. Just financially, or they're not providing experts within their organization who can become mentees or mentors?
Correct. They're not bringing their employees to become mentors. They're basically underwriting some additional programs on the educational area in different corporate functional domains to help those small business owners have access to the information they need. Let me give you an example. So FedEx provides educational content focused for startups on e-commerce, and that includes webinars, other information, as well as what we call the Startup Roadmap, which is a series of 10 or 12 different chapters in a step-by-step guide to help a business get up and running by a startup founder. Equitable Foundation, which is also a sponsor, is providing various types of content and supporting programs for the Black Entrepreneurs Educational Hub. And it's working with one of the SCORE chapters in Charlotte, North Carolina, to help them with their diversity and inclusion-focused events. And so in many cases, if not all, a corporation has certain strategic goals in supporting small business community, and their philanthropy and their financial underwriting help SCORE add more programs, either to support underserved communities, whether it's women entrepreneurs, Asian entrepreneurs, Hispanic entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs, minority entrepreneurs, or all entrepreneurs in general. And so corporations kind of dial in with collaborations on those programs that match their own corporate strategies, while at the same time helping SCORE do more.
So are these custom programs that are developed in partnership with SCORE, or are they programs that, say, FedEx would already have as an in-house training that they're utilizing in other places that they're making available to the small business and the entrepreneurs?
So in most cases, the SCORE Association headquarters team are developing the programs.
Okay.
So much like I use the Ken Burns TV documentary series as my example on PBS. So Ken Burns has done tremendous series on World War II, on the Civil War, on baseball, and on so many topics. And companies like General Motors help underwrite the production of those programs. Very much the same with the foundation corporate sponsors and the programs that the SCORE Association is creating. So the association has their wish list to meet the needs of the small business owners that they're getting feedback from. And the corporate sponsors help through their funding the association team and their experts put those programs together.
So it's almost like a PBS type model.
It is.
Where, okay, this show is sponsored by FedEx. This show is sponsored by IBM, whatever. So IBM or FedEx or whoever would come in at the foundation level to be able to provide the funds for the content to be developed.
Absolutely.
Okay, so they're not involved in actually helping to develop the content themselves. They're more than likely saying, okay, we're going to provide the financial wherewithal to the foundation in order to make the materials available.
That pretty much is the way it works. So one more example in Trend Micro is a software company in the cybersecurity protection space. So they've been a corporate sponsor of the foundation for several years. What they've been doing is sponsoring various webinars to help small business owners understand, how do I protect my data? How do I protect my backend systems? If I'm a sole proprietor and I'm working from my home office, my needs look like this. But if I run a retail bakery and I've got customers from the public coming into my store every day, what do I need to protect my backend systems and my payment systems and my billing systems and my cash systems? And so Trend Micro is helping to underwrite various webinars where we have learning environments on those issues, as well as different forms of content, the five things to look for, the five things to stay clear of, you know, what are the five cybersecurity problems that are currently surfacing that you need to be aware of. And so companies come with their thought leadership, such as in the case of Trend Micro, and their experience in cybersecurity to help the small business owners understand and make the right decisions on how to protect their information.
So in that particular case, would they provide the experts to be able to run the webinars themselves to be able to facilitate, to be able to facilitate this knowledge. Okay. So it's not just a pure financial play. It's being able to provide not only financial support, but possibly expertise as well.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And it really varies by sponsor and what they wish to do in terms of their collaboration from a sponsorship standpoint, what fits their strategic goals. And how can we leverage what they want to accomplish through either purely financial underwriting to the other end of the spectrum, where we're utilizing some of their expertise on, here's the five big cybersecurity threats this year that's floating around the world.
Okay, so let's change gears and talk about the mentees. Let's talk about these people that are traditionally young, idealistic, starting an organization, don't know what they don't know, because I've been one of those. I absolutely admit I was the person that had a great idea and a passion and knew a lot about what I knew a lot about. And there was a lot of things I had not a clue about. How do we enable those people to be able to understand, first of all, what are the questions that they need to ask to not only to engage the mentor community, but be able to utilize it in a way that's going to be able to benefit them? Because we don't know what we don't know. And we muddle through. We're in the do-it-yourself mentality and don't bother me. I'll figure it out. I'll watch a YouTube. And that can be a really dangerous place to be. And how do we break into that mentality and allow people to realize there's a whole community here that's set up to help you and help you benefit not only yourselves, but your employees and your clients?
So let me share to that point and question, Ben, some of the areas that are the top three or four subject areas that the small businesses served by the SCORE mentors tend to need help in. And I think this is probably universal and not just limited to the United States of America, but probably endemic of small business owners in general around the world. So the number one subject that is requested for assistance by a mentor, do you want to guess? Marketing.
There we go.
Marketing. So that by far, you know, as you and I both know with backgrounds in marketing, covers a lot of things, you know.
It certainly does.
How do I price my product? You know, should it be this? Should it be that? How do I get in front of my customers? Who are my customers? You know, if I'm selling to consumers, is it every consumer? Is it women? Is it men? Is it senior citizens? Is it millennials? So marketing is the number one area, followed really closely by business plan development and other finance things. Because why? A lot of the small businesses that are served by the mentors that SCORE you know, provides programs for are Main Street businesses. They're the organizations in our community that run the restaurants, that might have the yoga studios, that might have some consulting and graphic design services, the whole gamut of the organizations that are neighborhood and local community based. And if they're running a donut shop or wanting to open up one, well, there's restaurant equipment that they need to buy and ovens and, you know, different types of machinery that they can potentially get a business loan to cover so that they don't have to buy it out of their pocket. Well, what do you need? You need a business plan if you're going to walk into a bank. You need certain financial statements to show the banker that you're a good credit risk. And so business plan and finance and accounting represent another common area that the small business owners come to score about. And so I think the main thing to hit home, and there's probably 15 or 20 other subject areas that are, you know, very universally popular. But when I think about my time for 20 years and working with tech company, early and growth stage companies, most technology companies are founded by technologists. You know, software developers that came up with a great idea on how to solve this or how to make this easier or faster for consumers or business executives. But they lacked the business background. They didn't go to business school. They didn't take business courses. They became computer science majors or computer science experts from maybe age 6 or age 8. And so they don't have those business background skills as part of their own personal makeup. And so enabling them to reach out to someone who could help them with those things that they're not good at will make the difference between them spending a lot of time in trial and error approaches. They don't need to, you know, why waste your time when you can talk to somebody that can give you the shortcuts that can help you not make those mistakes? I mean, when I look at my own entrepreneurial journey, I wish that there were more potential advisors available, you know, back when I was one of the co-founders of that software. There was a point where me and one of my co-founders were out raising capital. What did I know about that, you know, at my early age? I didn't know anything. And so, you know, we had to do the best that we could do in putting the slide deck together when we walked into the venture capital office to say, hey, we've got this great piece of software that's going to do this and this, and we're going to grow like this in 3 years, and we want you to invest. So I definitely could have taken advantage of the expertise of people who had done that before. And so having this network of thousands of people around the country that are there to help. And they're there to help because they get great personal satisfaction from it. You know, you've been a mentor for a very long time. The reason why you keep doing it is because you get that satisfaction of being able to help a company. If you didn't, you'd been doing something else, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing to me when you think about it, when you think about the opportunities that are available to people right now. And I need to shorten this because we're running out of time and I want to make sure that I get my thoughts on this properly. How do we make sure that people are getting the right information? Because there's so much information out there. There is an enormous amount of information out there. And most of it is irrelevant to us. It may be good information for somebody else, but it may not be applicable to our clients, our space, our situation, whatever. How do we help the young entrepreneur learn how to ask the right questions to be able to make sure that they're put on the right path? Because the path to failure is just, it's a superhighway. It is a superhighway to failure. More organizations fail every single year because of lack of information, bad communication, whatever. So how do we make sure that we help the young entrepreneurs get the advice that they truly need in a way that's going to enable them to succeed?
Well, I think the first step there is understanding that the role of the mentor in many cases can be in helping that startup founder recognize what the right questions are. So just the other day, I was moderating a group of women business owners in a monthly roundtable series that I do in the DC area. And one of the women founders said, you know, I was thinking about a month and a half ago that I needed to bring on a finance executive because I know nothing about finance and her company is in the life sciences space. She said, I don't know anything. And I think I would benefit by having this person on board because we're getting traction and there's lots of financial decisions I don't know how to make. She said, so I reached out and got a mentor. And what that mentor taught me is I need to define what kind of person I'm looking for in this finance person that I'd like to hire. I just figured I need a finance person, but I didn't think it through. What role do I want them to play? What do I need them to bring to the table in background? Should they come from the life sciences industry? Is that an important criteria? Should they be a CPA? Does that matter? And so that mentor helped her think about what questions to ask in order to create a job description or a role for that person. Otherwise, she might have hired the wrong person, just thinking all finance people are the same. And so it's knowing what the questions are that a quality mentor can help guide that founder to get to where they need to be. They don't always have to give them the answer. They need to give them the roadmap to get to that answer. So
nice. And I think that's a good place to stop. And I have a couple last questions before we let you out the door, but you've just been amazing. I mean, you've given the roadmap to be able to sit there and say, if we don't ask the right questions, we'll never get the right answers. And I think that comes from the mentor and the mentee stage. And I think that that's how we're all going to succeed. Now, the best way for people to get in touch with you is through scorefoundation.org. Is that the best way?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is the best way. And they can send an email, info@scorefoundation.org. It goes to me. So don't worry. I will get it. Or connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Liz Sarah, and you'll find me on LinkedIn.
I love it. And here's the same question that I asked you last time. And I ask every single person this. As you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and Score when you're not in the room?
I would say that there's tremendous value in supporting the small businesses that add the vibrancy in the neighborhoods we choose to live in, that give us the variety of products and services that we have, that create jobs, help our economy, help the states we live in. And if there is any interest in supporting those communities of small business owners locally or nationally, that they know to contact us at the Score Foundation.
Liz, thank you for shining a light on this. Thank you for being yet again a wonderful guest. And thank you for all the things you do for small business.
Thank you so much, Ben. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your program and have always enjoyed it and will continue to enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?